Welcome back, everybody. We're diving into a book today that people sometimes think is a bit on the gloomy side, Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
But we're going to find some hidden optimism, I think, today.
Yeah, for sure.
We've got excerpts from the first session of Dr. Alfer's lecture series on Ecclesiastes, and he's got such a unique take on this book.
He does.
He sees it as a guide to enjoying life.
Yeah.
So how can that be?
That's the question, isn't it?
That's what we're going to try to figure out.
We're going to uncover it.
Yeah. So before we get too far, let's meet our main character here, Qohelet.
Right.
Sometimes called the preacher.
Yes.
So there's debate about whether he is King Solomon or just a literary character.
Right. There's a lot of debate about that.
Yeah.
And Dr. Fur argues that, you know, focusing too much on who he is exactly can kind of distract from the real message.
It's like being so worried about who Shakespeare was that you miss the play.
Exactly. Yeah. And this play that we're looking at today is actually quite complex. Ecclesiastes is a real blend of different types of writing, you know?
Oh, okay.
You got Proverbs in there, like, whoever watches the wind will not plant, whoever looks at the clouds will not reap.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It makes me think about all those times I get stuck just, you know, overthinking things instead of taking action.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of wisdom there. And then you've also got stories.
Oh, okay.
Like that one about the poor wise man who saves a city but is forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, talk about feeling unappreciated.
Oof.
Yeah, but, you know, it makes you think about what true wisdom really is.
It does.
And then there are also allegories, poems, and speeches all kind of woven together.
Wow.
It's really this variety that reflects, I think, all the different parts of wisdom that Qohelet is wrestling with.
So how do we even begin to untangle all of this? Well, it seems like we need some kind of special key.
Well, you know, Dr. Fur suggests that understanding certain Hebrew words and recurring themes are crucial.
Okay.
And one of the most important is this word hevel. It's repeated 38 times.
Wow.
Throughout Ecclesiastes.
Okay, so tell me more about that.
It's often translated as meaningless.
Okay.
But Dr. Fur believes that that translation misses the mark a little bit.
Okay, now we're getting to the good stuff.
Right.
So if it doesn't mean meaningless, then what does it mean?
Well, literally it translates to mist or vapor.
Huh.
Things that are temporary and fleeting.
Okay.
You know, think about how quickly mist disappears on a sunny morning.
Yeah, okay. So it's about the fact that everything kind of fades away, even our accomplishments.
Yeah.
You know, or possessions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's that ephemeral nature of things.
Yeah, it's a powerful concept.
It is. And Dr. Fur argues that this is really key to unlocking the book's hidden optimism.
Okay, now I'm officially intrigued. So how does a word like that, a word that evokes, you know, things fading away,
right,
how does that lead to optimism?
It might seem counterintuitive, but think about it this way. If everything in this world is temporary, then maybe our ultimate purpose isn't found in chasing after worldly success or material possessions.
Oh, so we're not supposed to get bogged down by, you know, how temporary things are.
Right.
We should be looking beyond that.
Yes, and that's where the enjoyment in life comes in.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
It's not about denying the reality of hevel, but about finding joy in the midst of it.
So we're acknowledging that things are fleeting, but we can still enjoy them.
Precisely.
Okay. I like that perspective.
Because we're not clinging to them so tightly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is really interesting, but before we go too far down this road of hevel,
right,
let's step back for a second.
Okay.
And look at the bigger picture.
Okay. Sounds good.
And that brings us to another key motif that Dr. Fur highlights, the under-the-sun perspective.
Right.
Now, what does that even mean?
Yeah, it sounds a little mysterious, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds very mysterious.
Well, think of it as the human-limited viewpoint, you
mm-hmm.
know, how we experience life without that full benefit of divine revelation.
Uh-huh.
We see things, but, you know, our vision is obscured by our own limitations.
So it's like we're looking at the world through a cloudy lens.
Exactly. Yeah, we can't see the full picture, but we're trying to make sense of it all.
And that's where wisdom comes in to help us navigate this under-the-sun existence.
Precisely. Wisdom is the tool that allows us to make the most of our time here to find joy and purpose despite the limitations.
But it's not just about, you know, knowing things, right?
It's about applying that knowledge in a way that leads to a fulfilling life.
So it's about living it out,
exactly.
Not just knowing it.
Yes. And that's where another crucial motif comes into play, the fear of God.
Ah, yes, the fear of God.
Right.
We've mentioned it a couple of times.
We have.
But I think we need to unpack that a bit more.
Okay.
What does that really mean?
Right.
Because is it about being terrified of some kind of divine punishment?
Not exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's more about recognizing that our actions have consequences and that we're accountable to something greater than ourselves.
So it's about humility, recognizing that we're not the center of the universe.
Precisely. And that awareness can actually lead to a greater sense of freedom and joy.
Okay, now that is intriguing.
Right.
I'm starting to see how all these pieces fit together.
Yeah.
We've got Hevel, the fleeting nature of things, the under-the-sun perspective, the role of wisdom, and this idea of the fear of God. It's like a puzzle. And we're starting to put the pieces together.
Yes. And the more pieces we put together, the clearer the picture becomes.
I'm excited to see what other insights we uncover as we go.
Me too.
Let's dive in.
Let's do it.
It's funny, you know, before we started, I was thinking of Ecclesiastes as this really gloomy book.
Yeah.
But now
like that.
I'm kind of seeing this whole other side of it.
That's the beauty of it. You dig in and you find some really cool stuff.
Exactly. And speaking of cool stuff,
yeah,
let's get back to that word, Hevel. I'm still kind of chewing on that one.
Yeah, well, it's a really important one. And it's more than just, you know, things fading away.
Okay.
It really, it highlights our limitations.
Okay. So even when we achieve something great, it's still temporary.
Yeah. And that can be frustrating, you know, if we're only focused on worldly success.
Yeah. I think we've all felt that, you know, you achieve something and you're like, is that all there is?
Right. And Kohelet really digs into that feeling.
Okay.
But the cool thing is, it's not supposed to be depressing.
Okay, now how can that be anything but depressing?
Well, what if you recognizing that actually frees us to chase after things for the right reasons?
Oh, so instead of just chasing after, you know, fleeting glory or whatever,
right,
we're motivated by something deeper.
Yes, exactly. It's like that difference between seeking validation from others versus finding fulfillment in the work itself.
It's like the difference between, you know, posting a selfie just for likes and creating art just for the joy of it.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And that's where Hevel intersects with another key motif, sovereignty of God.
Okay, we keep kind of circling around this one, so let's go there.
Yeah, let's dive in.
Let's unpack that.
Okay.
So if we accept that, you know, God is in control, that he has a plan,
right,
then all this other stuff takes on a different meaning.
It does. Then it's no longer about building our own little empires.
Right.
It's about being a part of something much bigger.
It's about kind of letting go and trusting.
Yes, exactly. And that's really freeing. You know,
yeah.
It frees us from that pressure of having to, you know, make everything perfect or achieve some ultimate success.
So that's where the enjoyment comes in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about ignoring our limitations or pretending that everything's perfect.
Right.
But about finding that joy in the journey.
Even with the ups and downs.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That reminds me of what Dr. Furr said about the book's twofold wisdom message.
Oh, yeah.
You know, embrace enjoyment, but live soberly.
Right. It's about that balance.
It's about balancing those two things.
Exactly.
Yeah
it's not either. You know, we can enjoy life's pleasures, but still acknowledge our limitations and responsibilities.
So it's not YOLO. It's not doom and gloom. It's somewhere in between.
And something much deeper.
Yeah. And so much more interesting.
Right.
So that's how Hevel and the sovereignty of God really create this surprisingly optimistic perspective.
They really do.
You know, it's like acknowledging how temporary things are actually makes you enjoy them more because you're not trying to hold on so tight.
Yeah, you're letting go.
Yeah. And knowing that God is in control
really
frees you to just embrace the journey.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, one thing that always struck me about Ecclesiastes is how honest it is about death.
It is.
Yeah.
It doesn't shy away from it at all.
Kohelet talks about death a lot.
He does. And I think that's a good thing.
Now, how can that be a good thing?
Well, think about it. If we're always thinking about, you know, the fact that we're not going to live forever.
Yeah.
It forces us to figure out what really matters.
Uh-huh. Right. Like live every day like it's your last kind of thing.
Exactly. And it's not about being reckless or anything.
Right.
But it's about really savoring each moment.
Yeah. Appreciating the small things.
Yes, and living with intention.
Because you just never know, right?
Exactly. And that can actually lead to, you know, more joy and gratitude for the life we have.
So embracing death helps us embrace life.
It really does.
Yeah.
It's a bit paradoxical.
It is.
But it's true. And it brings a sense of urgency to the task of living wisely.
Don't waste time on things that don't matter.
Exactly.
Okay. And here comes the fear of God again.
Yes, it all ties together.
Okay. But seriously, help me out with this one.
Okay.
What does it mean to fear God?
Okay. Well, it's not about, like, you know, cowering in fear or constantly worrying about being punished.
Okay.
It's more about living with reverence and respect for God.
So recognizing that our actions have consequences.
Yes, and knowing that we're accountable for how we live.
It's like this sense of responsibility that comes with knowing that we're not just here for our own amusement.
Exactly. And when we live with that awareness, it really shapes the way we live our lives.
So the fear of God is kind of like a guiding principle.
It is.
That helps us navigate life.
Yeah, it's not about living in fear, but about living with wisdom and intention.
I'm seeing how all these pieces fit together.
Yeah.
We've got Hevel and the sovereignty of God and death and living wisely.
Yeah.
This is a pretty profound puzzle.
It is, and we're just getting started.
I'm eager to hear more because it seems like this ancient book really has something to teach us.
It does.
Even today.
Absolutely.
Wow. I feel like we've been on this incredible journey through Ecclesiastes.
It has been a journey, hasn't it?
It really has. And I gotta say, my perspective has really shifted.
I think that's what happens when you really dig deep into these ancient texts.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's not just about understanding, you know, intellectually.
Right.
Dr. Fur says this wisdom is supposed to be lived out.
It is, yeah.
So how do we actually apply all this stuff to our everyday lives?
Yeah, that's the question, isn't it?
What does that look like?
Well, imagine you're rushing through your day, you know, feeling stressed out, overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like you're always chasing after the next thing.
Been there.
Yeah, I think we all have. And Dr. Fur says one of the most powerful things we can do is just learn to slow down.
Okay.
Embrace the present moment.
It's about mindfulness, isn't it?
It is. And remember, Coheil's always talking about how temporary everything is.
Yeah.
So we've got to savor those moments that we have.
So it's not about ignoring the future. It's about finding that balance.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So now think about your work.
Okay.
Does it feel like a burden?
Yeah.
An endless to-do list?
Sometimes it does.
Yeah. Coheil, it says that, you know, work can be futile if we're just chasing after wealth or status.
Right. If that's your only goal.
Right.
But he also points out that it can be really meaningful.
Okay.
If you approach it with the right attitude.
So it's about finding fulfillment in what you're doing, not just the outcome.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about using your talents.
Oh.
To contribute to something bigger than yourself.
Even if you know you're not at your dream job yet.
Exactly. Even then, you can still find purpose.
Yeah. It's about making a difference, even in those small, everyday things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, here's one that I love.
Okay, what's that?
Gratitude.
Oh, yes. Gratitude is so important.
It really is. It's like a game changer.
It changes everything.
Yeah. And, you know, Coheil, even though he has this reputation for being a bit of a downer, he actually says we should be thankful.
He does. He tells us to be grateful for all the good things we have.
Even the small things.
Even the small things. Absolutely.
It's about what we have, not what we're missing.
Yes, and recognizing that everything is a gift.
I think that's something we forget sometimes.
We do. We get so caught up in what's next, and we forget to appreciate what we have right now.
Right. Yeah, but when we have that grateful heart,
it makes such a difference.
It really does. It
brings joy and contentment.
Even when things are tough.
Yes, even then.
Okay, so we've talked about being present, finding fulfillment in our work and gratitude.
Right. Those are some big ones.
Is there anything else that Dr. Fur talks about?
Well, it all comes back to that main theme, you know, the fear of God.
There it is again.
It all ties together.
Okay.
He says that ultimately wisdom is about living in a way that honors God.
So remembering that we're not the center of the universe.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's about trying to align our lives with God's will.
And when we do that, you know, it leads to a better life.
It's not about following a bunch of rules.
Right.
It's about living with purpose.
It's about living a life that reflects what you believe.
Beautifully said.
And honoring the creator.
That's the essence of what Dr. Fur is getting at.
It's not about futility or despair.
No, it's about living wisely.
And finding that joy.
Yes, even in a broken world.
So embracing that heavenness.
Yes.
Without becoming cynical.
Finding that meaning.
Yeah, finding your purpose, even when you know things are temporary.
Yes, and savoring each moment.
Working with intention.
And being grateful.
Wow, that's a powerful way to end our deep dive.
It is, and I hope this has inspired you to check out Ecclesiastes for yourself.
You know, discover all that wisdom for yourself.
Yeah, those ancient words have a lot to say.
So as you go about your day, remember to, you know, savor the simple things.
Yes, work with purpose.
And be grateful.
And remember that even in a world of fleeting moments, there's a deeper truth that anchors us, a love that endures, and a hope that never fades.
That's all the time we have for today's deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking wisdom in all you do.